Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Live from the Investors Bank Traveling Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. We are on location at Boomer's golf tournament for his foundation. A great event every single year. It's a great commute for me, not so much for Jerry and Al, but hey, they get screwed every once in a while. That's okay. Boomer and I walking around gingerly this morning after completing that five-borough bike tour. We'll tell you about that later. But this morning's really about the Mets and the situation that they are in. And I think it is time for real concern. This isn't, it's a slow start. Things will get figured out. They've got injuries now to the rotation that we don't know how long are going to sort themselves out. And the offense is putrid. We talked early on in the season about Jim Riggleman being there, Brody Van Wagenen declaring this team was going to win the division, and Mickey Callaway being on a short leash. That's something to keep an eye on as this team starts their first tailspin of the year, getting swept in Milwaukee. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Well, good morning, Gio. My legs are killing me. But other than that, I'm doing great, and it's great to be here for the 27th year for our golf tournament, so I look forward to talking about that a little bit. A little bit later on, we'll also have Wally Szczerbiak on, and we're going to talk
to him
about...
You're right with that, Al?
You're all right with that, Al? You're good with that?
Yes, big fan.
All right, okay. Big fan. Right. I know you love him. But anyway, we'll talk a little Knicks later on around 9 o'clock or so.
Boring.
But, you know, yeah. Here's the thing about the Mets. I hate to say this, and I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I feel like what's happening now happened last year right around this time.
Yeah.
This is where the tailspin started at the beginning of May. I think they lost 8 out of their first 10, I think, in the month of May, and it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. And now with Mats and Vargas and a team that basically cannot hit the baseball anymore, it is right. The sky is falling. And normally I would be a guy that would say, you know, we'll fight through it. Everything's going to be okay. They'll figure it all out. But, all you have to do is look across town, and the Yankees are figuring it out. And the Yankees do have guys that have been out and have been replaced, and those replacements have basically been doing their job and keeping that team above water. Hell, they swept the team with the best record. Not swept, though. They won the
two out of three
from the Twins, the team with the best record in the American League. So, like, I don't know why the Mets can't do this, especially with their pitching staff and the way the pitching staff actually has played, but they may have just lost two-fifths of that pitching staff.
Yeah, so I don't know how concerned the Mets are. With Vargas, but I know I can't get a read on it because they, with the injuries and the information. I mean, when Steven Matz gets sent back for an MRI and it's nerves, but then you hear Mickey Callaway say, "Well, it's just nerves; it shouldn't be a big deal." Well, I mean, nerves sound like a big deal to me, especially how well Steven Matz has been pitching. And they say it's a slight hamstring strain for Jason Vargas. When you needed the guy, you desperately needed the guy after 18 innings the night before to go out there and not give you a Vargas performance. I can't get mad at him for getting injured, just another bad luck thing on top of it. But there's two major, major problems with the Mets. One is they don't have starting pitching depth. We heard Brody Van Wagenen talk about all the ifs going into the season. We don't need ifs all over the place. Well, one of the biggest ifs that he left unaddressed was
what if you have some injuries to the rotation? Are we going to be seeing Flexen and Oswalt, and we're now going to take out of our bullpen and then maybe take a big asset out of the bullpen and Lugo put him in the rotation? He never addressed that. And the other issue is this offense that was so great that we kept saying, I feel like it could be sustainable because it's the young guys that are hitting, has not been sustainable.
Wait a minute. Rosario's not hitting.
Well, he's been okay.
He was this past weekend is okay, but he's been he's been terrible in the field.
Right.
Cano's not hitting. Frazier is not hitting. Nimmo is not hitting.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys, you're basically being carried by Alonso, somewhat Conforto, and McNeil.
Yep, that's it.
Everybody else. Ramos, you know, did well early on, but, I mean, it is really frustrating. And I have to tell you, I don't know if it's just that, you know, everybody gets comfortable in this locker room, in this dugout. That's the thing I worry about. You know, when we made fun of Mickey when he took this job 2 years ago about, you know, how they're going to love their players and we're going to love their, you know, there has to be an edge. I'm sorry, there has to be an edge. And I know that in this day and age, having an edge is almost impossible. You know, with Aaron Boone and the way that he, you know, kind of creates relationships, and one of the reasons why they wanted him over Joe Girardi and all that other stuff. There's something to be said about what Aaron Boone has done with all the injuries that they've had. But this seems to be a really relaxing kind of situation for the Mets. And this is what happened last year. You know, it's not okay to get lost in these losing streaks.
Yeah.
You know, how about this lineup yesterday?
Yeah.
How about here? Just take the sweep. You can have it right here. Just take it.
Now, teams do this all the time. The Mets, I feel like, do it every single Sunday. I understand.
Let me ask you a question.
Why is Yelich playing 18 innings?
Why is Yelich playing then?
Well, he was on the DL. It was his first game since like the end of April, so that's why. But he, the Mets, they
and what does he do? He hits home runs.
Right, of course. I mean, he hits a bomb. I mean, the guy was, it was unbelievable. But no, when the Mets toss out that lineup on a Sunday, I mean, do you give them a little bit of pass because they played 18 innings the night before? I mean, because I don't. This was a dire situation for the Mets to go out and get a win before they go out now to San Diego before coming back
home. And not to say that their lineup anyway was going to be any better.
Well,
I mean, their starting lineup isn't going to be any better, but, you know, for me, it's all about falling back into that trap that they fell back into last year.
Yeah, you know what's going to be fascinating to me is how Brody handles this adversity. So we saw him pull the plug on Darnell very quickly. Does he take that mentality now with other places on this team? Does he DFA Todd Frazier because he can't hit a lick? Does he really put the pressure on Mickey Callaway because he's got Jim Riggleman there? Like, so the Brody Van Wagenen approach to this season is going to be really interesting to watch, because this is a guy who put the pressure on the team to be damn good in the beginning.
Come get us.
Come get us. We're the favorites in the National League East. So he put the pressure on the team. So that means if they continue to underperform and start to slip farther and farther back in the NL East standings, then that means that things aren't going the way that he expected them to. How far does he take it? Plus, another part of Brody that's fascinating to me is this positive attitude thing. Right? Can you be both? Can you be cutthroat as a GM?
You better be.
And also be Mr. Hey, everything's great around here. Be the best that you can be. Positive attitude. You're going to be great. We're going to be great. But then the axe is coming down behind him. So I think that these are things that he's going to be learning as a first-time general manager in the media. And the stuff that he says, I mean, he's going to be held accountable for.
Hell yeah, he's going to be held accountable for it. And he should be. I mean, everybody got all excited, you know, when he made the trade for Cano and Diaz and brought in Ramos. And, you know, at the end of the day, for me, it's all about whether or not this thing is going to change. And it hasn't changed. As a matter of fact, it's almost exactly the same as it was last year.
Yeah, so I am on the side.
The only difference is last year they got off to a great start.
Yep.
This year, it's been kind of middling. Win one, lose two, win two, lose one, that kind of thing. Alternating winning and losing, and then now getting swept at the hands of Milwaukee. So they have lost 5 out of 6 games to the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, it did brutal. And the Brewers are a good team. But
that's my
Mets.
Point. But
yeah.
Their pitching staff is not that good.
Yeah, that guy yesterday, Davies, has been unbelievable, and he was great yesterday.
When you look at their ERA as a staff, it's not great.
Yeah, I mean, they also have the best
closer
in baseball.
But it's going to be great now because of what happened over the weekend.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, yesterday they had no shot. I mean, it was basically, you know, Davies, and then the fat guy came in before whatever his name is, and then who's humongous, who looks like me on the mound last year, 253 with the skinny arms. And then Hader came in the ninth. The guy's untouchable. But I am on the side that if Brody Van Wagenen says, come get us, NL East favorites, then you can't wait around with some of this nonsense. That Todd Frazier shouldn't be on the team. Brandon Nimmo, if you can't hit and you can't play, and I know you got a smile and everything was great last year and you were a bright spot, then you're not in the lineup. Mickey Callaway, if you're going to continue to mess up the bullpen and I feel like you don't have a handle on things, then you're gone. You can't have it both ways. You can't say that this was going to be a big year and then we're going to go out and championships and this year championships and every other year championships and then just let this happen. I mean, I don't want just a mistake or two where the guy's getting crushed in the clubhouse, but I mean, you think Todd Frazier's ever going to become an asset on this team? Is that ever going to happen?
Not offensively.
Get him out. That's the next message that's said. But get Todd Frazier out.
You have to go to the owner and you have to say, you know, we're going to get rid of these guys. Okay. And the owners are probably reticent to do that. Here's the thing. They're 3-7 in their last 10. The Phillies are 7-3 in their last 10.
Yeah, it's like moving day at the Masters now. Right. It's like moving week.
And the Mets have been in, you know, either first or second place for, you know, for a long time. Kind of middle end season, 500 season. Now they've dropped below the Atlanta Braves. So it's starting.
Yep.
And somebody better start recognizing that it is starting. And, you know, now they're going to go out to play San Diego. And San Diego is, you know, right around them to a 500 team. But they had a huge win yesterday at the hands of the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean,
walk off.
Right. So, I mean, so Brody's got a couple of things to think about. And one of the things he's really got to consider is what is he going to do with this staff? Because if Steven Matz or Jason Vargas all of a sudden had become an asset for them.
They're going to have to start Seth Lugo. They're going to have to start.
They're going to have to make a move is what you got to do.
Assuming that Vargas is going to miss a start and assuming that Matz is going to miss a start.
So now we're going to take one of the biggest bullpen assets out of the bullpen and put him in the rotation because Brody Van Wagenen didn't build this depth with the starting rotation.
Yes, and that's exactly what's probably going
to
happen.
That's robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's exactly what you don't want to do.
But you know what's amazing to me is that the Yankees somehow have kept this thing going.
Yeah. No,
right?
Talk man the sock man.
You know, I was listening to JJ's this morning. He's, you know, 2 weeks ago, the lineup in Los Angeles.
Thyro Estrada and Tyler Wade and the sock man.
And they swept. Didn't they sweep that series? I think they swept that series.
Yeah,
didn't they?
The Angels, I think. Right. No, they lost the third one. I think they might have lost
but they won that series.
Yeah, right.
And then they won the next series
Sweep that one. Well, listen, they won six out of three or
but think,
six
but
out of
think
nine
about
of
that for a second. Yeah, think about the guys that, you know, have basically come in and performed for the Yankees. And what I would say is that when Hicks, Stanton, and Judge all come back, and Didi Gregorius for that matter, you talk about pressure, those guys are going to be stepping onto a team whose backup players that weren't expected to be here, have kept this team afloat.
Yeah, and how about Domingo Germán? I mean, this was a guy who we hadn't really talked so much about going into the season, and he has become Luis Severino. That's who he is right now. He's got that type of electric stuff, and he's mowing people down. He's been the Yankees' most consistent pitcher. You feel more comfortable with him on the mound than anybody else. I think that finally people are realizing it. It used to be, oh, Herman's starting, you know, hopefully he pitches well for us. And that used to be the mentality. Now it's like Domingo Germán's on the mound, like, let's go. You know, this guy's our best pitcher. So what they've done is amazing, the fact that they've stayed afloat. And they're going to have to continue to do it because I think Cashman said that Severino's not coming back till after the All-Star break. So you've got that. You know Judge's injury is going to take a long time. So those two guys aren't going to be around for a while. So you're getting some guys back, but there's so many friggin' guys that have been hurt. Like, you're not going to be whole until maybe August.
You know, you talk about staying afloat. That's what you and I did yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
We stayed afloat.
Yeah, we did.
40 miles for the Fiveborough bike tour yesterday. It was an awesome experience. And I have to say that I thought I lost you at the beginning. I'm about 2 miles into this thing, Jerry, and all of a sudden there's no Gio.
Yep.
And I'm like, what the hell happened to Gio?
Yeah, well, I did end up catching up to you. So my biggest fear, I'm starting to believe in these self-fulfilling prophecies, because my biggest fear was I was going to be an accident in the beginning, because everybody's packed in, everybody's hopping on their bike, they're all excited in the beginning, and it's chaos. So I'm asking everybody, hey, have you done this before? What's the start like? What's the start like? And everybody's telling me it's hairy, it's tough. So it's in my head now. So I get up on the bike at the start. I'm nervous as hell that I'm going down.
You didn't seem nervous to me. You seemed like everything was fine.
Well, because you, I'm talking right before the start, I was okay. But when we started to move and you took off, and I'm like, all right, now I've
got
to get up.
What do you mean I took off? I just got, I got on my bike and I started riding. Well, what else do you do?
Well, I'm not blaming you for it. I'm saying you got on, you know, seamlessly and you went. So I get up on the bike. I get bumped. I cannot keep my balance at this point. And plus, it's in my head already that I'm going down, you know. So boom, I go over, dominoes, two other European guys. I don't know. I just know they were screaming at me in some European language. I remember hearing, Scalabuco! Scalabuco! I don't know what that means. Hopefully it's not a curse word. So he's screaming in my face. And then someone else is coming up to me like I had a stroke or something. Like, are you okay? Are you okay? Do you need medical assistance? I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine.
We haven't even started yet.
I just got knocked over. Yeah. So I got up on the thing and I raced to try to find you. I was like, now I'm going to do this thing with no Team Boomer people. It's just going to be me. Like a total idiot for 40 miles. I was like Floyd Landis, you know, Tour de France, cutting in and out of people. I thought I saw you. I went up and it was another really tall blonde guy. I said, I made it. And the guy goes, who the hell are you? And I said, never mind.
You're like maximum security cutting people off.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, out of my lane cutting people off. And I finally got up to you guys. And then the rest of the way, I mean, the next 38 miles we did together in the rain. And
it
We stopped for 30 seconds twice.
Right, exactly.
That was it. That's all we stopped for.
I said, let's go, man. We're putting our head down and we're going.
Yeah.
And it was great. And the best part about, I think, the whole experience yesterday is that, you know, people had no idea who we are because, you know, you're all bundled up and everything else. But I had number one.
Yep.
And he had number two. And people were, like, fascinated with the fact that they saw number one and number two. Mm-hmm. So all those people out there that are driving this morning, yes, I was wearing number one yesterday.
Yeah.
So, and we were all bundled up. Nobody knew who the hell we were. And I would say the hardest part is going up the Verrazano Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
That was insane. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm on a bike. I can figure out this whole thing out. I can't imagine what it must be running the New York City Marathon.
Are you kidding me? I mean, I can't. It gives me a whole new perspective on the people that run the marathon.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't have respect for them the first time, but knowing now how steep that is, I mean, it was crazy. There was music at the top, too. The Eye of the Tiger was at the top.
Yes.
That got me fired up. Eye of the
And you were all cranking it.
Yeah.
And then we get to the end, and you get your medal and all that other stuff, and then you realize you got another 3 miles to the ferry.
I mean, that was such a – I couldn't believe it. And we ate, so there was food there at the end, and, of course, all the calories that were burning. We're starving. So I ate a burrito in one bite, right down my throat, and then got on the bike 3 miles to the ferry, Staten Island Ferry, and then probably another 2 miles back to the office.
I just kept saying to myself, man, Sarah Beth pancakes. That's all I could think about was pancakes. And but, you know, we were soaked. There's no question about it. It was worth every mile.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we appreciate all the people supporting us in our fight against cystic fibrosis, one of the things we're doing here today for our 27th annual golf tournament as well out here on Long Island. So, Gio, I appreciate you doing it.
Thank
putting
you.
Up
yes,
with it. And
it was awesome.
You were a mensch, as they say, and you pulled through, man. I was proud of you.
Well, I'm proud of us. We both did it. We did it together. We finished, and no complaints either. We just put our heads down, and we did it. We enjoyed the hell out of it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.